everybody. Welcome to a Monday Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour. It's a interesting day to talk sports, that's for sure. Oh, Paul will be up with me in just a moment, but let me just say up front to Robert S., to Robert P., to Clovis Dave, to Phil P., to Steve from Clovis, to Rick P., to JJ, to Richard G., to Ruben, to Joaquin, to Gino, to everybody. I will get to your emails during the week the best I can. I realize the input from what happened Saturday is extremely important to everybody, and I will get to it. A lot of it I'm going to have to lump together for the sake of time, but Paul will be with me in just a moment, and we will go over the postmortem from Saturday and look to next Saturday, in this coming Saturday in Boise. We'll get to that in just a moment, but before we get there, as always, on this rather strange weather day, we will acknowledge our sponsors and then move forward with this thing. And I know it hasn't been a really nifty weekend for anybody, Fresno State-wise. First of all, I want to remind you that tonight, Major Wager Monday over on the home base of 1430 at 5 o'clock, and also the World Series Game 3 on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule for today and little thumbnail of the week, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Do that a little bit later on. Remind you, civil engineering, precision civil engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioeng.net. When we go over the schedule, I'll tell you about everything Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, and the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. The other reminders, I want to remind you about our friends locally at KFC, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They've done a lot to support athletics at Fresno State and throughout the Valley over the years, and we thank them for that. And right now, they have the great honey barbecue deal going on at the moment. It's a throwback to the 1990s, bringing it back, classic honey barbecue flavor on everything, chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. They have great deals on the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals for you. Stop by the KFCs. Tell them thanks for supporting athletics in the Valley and pick up whatever you can. And keep in mind, beyond the classic honey barbecue flavoring on everything, you still have the Tuesday $10 8-piece bucket or tenders there. Also Wednesdays, the country fried steak meal is just $5.99 and the chicken sandwich still just $3.99. So great deals at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Other reminders, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing allow me the time every day to bring you the weather. Again, terrific local people, been in the Central Valley in Northern California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really great people. If you have any need at all, give them a call, 825-5337, 825-LEES, or LeesAir.com on the web for more information. Also, they sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. That's how we bring up our guests and how Phil not only brings up guests for his show, but also callers from the general public. So mark that down, 559-320-1430, the Lee's Air Hotline. As far as the forecast, I mentioned a strange day today because it was supposed to be sunny and breezy. It's been breezy, but it's hardly been sunny. And the high is supposed to be 70 today. Now, we're closing in on November, so that shouldn't be a surprise. But the low at 49, a little bit different than what we're going to see the rest of the week, because tomorrow, if the forecast holds, we're going to start moving back up the ladder temperature-wise. 76 tomorrow with the lows back in the 50s, 80 on Wednesday, 81 Thursday, 80 on Halloween, on Friday, and then 82 Saturday. It's too bad the Bulldogs are not home this Saturday, and 81 Sunday. So, again, we're heading right back to spring type of weather. Not unusual because October is the best time of year weather-wise in this town, but to start to head to November, which we will, of course, over the weekend, and still be in the 80s, that's worth noting. Also keep in mind that if you want to be official about it, at 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday coming up, it's time, but the clock's back an hour. So, again, that reminder for you, and it is going to be overall a very nice week of weather once we get past today. thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, more information, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. The final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend and great booster at Fresno State, and that is Joe Cruz, celebrating the 25th anniversary of his terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. You can find him at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Also, more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe Mullins, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Tell you about this every day. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses. It's all there under one roof. If you're someone who works around a valve for your industrial need, if that goes down, your business is in big trouble. And I'm talking about anybody at a plant, a maintenance person, tanker delivery person, anybody. If you're working at a dairy, for instance, that has a valve, if it starts to fail on you, your business can come crashing down and your bottom line goes along with it. So what Joe can do for you, the same-day estimate and same-day service, he can make sure if you're still up and running but having troubles that you can get right back to 100% of productivity. If you've already gone down, he'll get you back up in a big hurry. If you stop by after he addresses your needs in a great family-friendly way, he will tell you what he has done for Fresno State if you have a few minutes. And once again, in the way of fundraising, and Joe has done this now for over three decades at Fresno State, right now the best avenue for fundraising, main website, GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. It'll take you to different areas of donation. The BDF, BulldogFoundation.org, celebrating its 25th anniversary, they have their link there. And you can, again, look into scholarship for student-athletes at that particular point. Also, under that membership header, you've got their benefits and their brochure. Club Red is there. The major giving societies are right next, and another link, which has Green V Society and Myers Champion Circle information. And then finally, under ways to give, you have the methods of support that delineates how you can give and what manner that you can give to Fresno State in the proper way. Keep in mind, NIL money's right now under the aegis of the university. You also have the Valley Co-op there, which is very important. Jamie DeLacerta stepped up big time. Vance Wahlberg did the same for his team. I've had this question before. How did that work? Well, you give to the co-op, and then it gets dispersed back through, and Vance and his family $1 million to try to level the playing field basketball-wise. There's information there. You can check that out under Valley Co-op. And then finally, the sports clubs are there. Timeout Club for men's basketball, for instance. Jack Fertig with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball, said they'd love to have more members. Give them a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or FertigJack@AOL.com. You can hit him up on the web. Also, Quarterback Club for football is there, Dugout Club for baseball, and links to other men's and women's sports as well under the sports club's header. And then finally, you have the one link that has the other information. Just click on more. It'll tell you about tickets and parking and everything else going on around Fresno State. That's there at the main website at GoBulldogs.com. And we thank Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe, Stainless Supply, for allowing us the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to the local operators at KFC and Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks, as always, to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And toward that end, on the Lee's Air Hotline, we bring up our great friend and longtime voice here, Bulldogs, and longtime member of the Sportsline Bulldog Hour, about 25 years of it. It is Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, great to be with you. The weather surprised me a little bit today, a little cooler. And certainly the Aztecs cooled off the Bulldogs on Saturday. I know everybody's disappointed. It was frustrating. But this season's a long way from over. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can put up a real good fight in Boise. Maybe surprise a few people, go win that game and become bowl eligible. A lot to talk about with how Saturday unfolded. But, you know, two highlights for me, Tony. One, we get it every game, which is the hero of the game. And to see 41,500 people on their feet, to salute Gary Hall for 20 years, was in the Air Force, risked his life in the skies over North Vietnam, and then helped develop the B-2 bomber. And I met his wife at Fresno State 6 decades ago. That was a special moment that never gets old. And at halftime, man, to see all those legends in one place saluting Jeff Tedford, I think the whole Ring of Honor ceremony and phenomenon can really grow and develop over time. And I think we can put our heads together and figure out how to really maximize the impact, because I'm sure a lot of fans were saying, wow, not just Kevin Sweeney, but Trent Dilfer, David Carr, Derek Carr, Henry Ellard, Lorenzo Neal, they're all here, Pat Hill, Jeff Tedford, almost the entire living Ring of Honor all in one place. We'd love to hear from them. We'd love to see them more. We'd love to talk to them. We might even show up to a dinner the night before and pay some money to reminisce. So I think there's a lot of potential there. And it was just a reminder of what, you know, Fresno State's two greatest resources are the fans, the Red Wave, and the alumni. And find a school that has the caliber of alumni in sports that Fresno State has. It's really hard to do. So I thought that was really special and so heartwarming to see Coach Tedford soak up the love, to know how much better his health is, how engaged he is, how much he's enjoying retirement, being a granddad, and how much he meant to each one of those fellow Ring of Honor inductees. That was something that couldn't be overshadowed by the dismal performance between the lines.
Well, as you and I have talked, Paul, I've known Jeff, of course, since he was a player here, covered him at that point. We've talked many times about the difficulties he had growing up. It was not an easy situation, and he has been, to his great credit, very public and forthcoming about that and discussing things and how his older brother and football, that combination really saved his life. And I was talking the other day that been now almost 30 years since I did the coordinator show with him, and I don't know where time has gone since that point in 1996, but Jeff has had such great success, and you touched upon the main issue, and that is his health. He's always been a great coach. He's proven that everywhere he's been, whether he was the head coach or the OC or what have you. He was a terrific, resourceful player here, obviously, in the early 80s. And by the way, we miss our great friend Vince Wesson very much and remember the iconic Cow Bowl. Everybody does. But for Teddy, the biggest thing is what you touched upon, Paul, and that is his health, from all reports, is doing well. And that was the main concern when he stepped down as coach, because those are very serious issues he was dealing with. And as far as the guys, you're right, and I want to give a great credit to guys like Trent Dilfer, because Trent's gone through a real tough time, and for him to fly on back out, back home, because, of course, he's from Aptos, but to come back to Fresno because of the great relationship he had with Teddy, who was not his head coach, by the way. That great relationship and that mentorship, Paul, that sure means an awful lot to everybody, and I just wish the game would have been better for Jeff and everybody there. But, you know, I'll give San Diego State a lot of credit. They had a 3-9 year last year, and they have come back strong, and they look to be as good as anybody in the conference right now. And I did want to start with that, because Ruben had the one optimistic email, and he had it somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but he said, hey, stop the gloom and doom. Were you reading my emails, Ruben? He said, you know what? All Fresno State needs to do is run the table and have San Diego State beat Boise State at Snapdragon, and the Bulldogs play the Aztecs for the conference title, and then LOL at the end. And I think the LOL said it all, Paul. That it would be great to think that were to happen, but there's so many things this team needs to iron out. And I want to start with the running game, and you and I have discussed this, and I've had so many emails about it, and that is, can you, without a dominant physical advantage with the Bulldogs, which the Bulldogs do not possess this year in this conference, can you run the football as a one-dimensional team when everybody knows that's what you want to do? And I was thinking, and I brought it up the other day, the great USC teams, including the ones that our good friend Pat Howell played with when he was at SC. Of course, Pat came out of Fresno High and had a great career. The Atlanta Falcons, one of the best linemen ever to come out of this area. But student body left, student body right, from the 60s through the 70s at USC, and whether it was Mike Garrett or O.J. Simpson or Clarence Davis or Anthony Davis or Ricky Bell or Charles White or Marcus Allen, Reggie Bush, you name it. The line was so great, Paul, that they could tell you, they could tell the defense, we're going student body left or student body right, and you couldn't stop them. The Bulldogs do not have that kind of advantage over anybody in this conference. Is it realistic, Paul, even though I heard Manon say it, that this team can give it to number two and the number six, and good things will happen if they can't throw the football to get the defense to back off of loading up? Is it realistic?
Well, there are a few ways I can go with that question. Don't leave number 31 out of the mix either, because I think
Matt brought up two and six, Paul. That's what I'm saying. Matt brought it up with two and six, but you're right, Ramirez as well. So go ahead.
And I think you have to wonder, you know, is their collective effectiveness hampered by the in and out pattern? You know, are they all running a little tentative or unsure because they're in and out of the game so much? You don't have a guy like, for instance, San Diego State had Lucky Sutton run it over 20 times, right? And he had a big game. He had a rhythm. He had a feel. If you're only in for a few plays, it's hard to get a feel, and you might not run as confidently. So I'm not saying that's the issue, but it could be a component. And obviously, if your passing game isn't effective, they can load up against the run, and teams have done that with success. I do think this team is capable of running the ball. It may take a little more creativity. It may take, you know, something to generate momentum, and then it gets unleashed. But I think, you know, the coaches have been trying to feel that out. And I think it's also important to note, you know, Matt Entz and Josh Davis, the OC, both came from schools where on many Saturdays they had superior talent on their side of the line.
Right.
And, you know, in this matchup and some other matchups, that has not been the case. If you look at San Diego State, you mentioned 3-9 last year. And here's another number that's bigger than 3-9, Tony. The number's $5 million.
Right.
That's how much San Diego State has in revenue share for its football team this year. That's about 400% more than Fresno State. So find a business that can compete with someone spending more than four times as they are for the same piece of pie. That's hard, but that's part of the reality of college football now. And does money equal success? No. But can it influence success? Yes, especially when it comes to size, depth. And I think we saw a difference physically on the field Saturday. The bodies wearing the red and white, which is usually Fresno State, looked a lot bigger and stronger than the bodies wearing black on that blackout Saturday. And unfortunately, that's where things currently are. Now, San Diego State was able to go from 3-9 to 6-1 by keeping a coach and a system, getting some impact transfers, and investing financially in the roster. So other teams can do that. And you see it across, you know, the power leagues. You could make the case that there's an even bigger discrepancy and a wider spectrum outside the power conferences, because so many teams can't scrape together enough money to really build that roster. And those who can, or take a gamble and invest this year, can really separate themselves. So I think that's part of what's at play with San Diego State's rise this year, and give them credit. And that defense, you know, probably the best defense Fresno State has faced this year. So, you know, was that an accurate gauge of what the change of quarterback can produce? Probably not. And, you know, Coach Entz said today at the news conference, their plan is to ride number 17 the rest of the way. And obviously other things could get in the way of that, but that's the plan right now. And I'm sure they expect to see growth from last week to this week. Coach Entz pointed out, you know, the demeanor that Conklin brought, how he was encouraging teammates and really showing some leadership qualities on the sideline. Obviously, there were a few pretty solid throws that weren't caught. And there are also throws that he'd want back, where if he makes the decision a split second sooner, it's a real positive play instead of a negative play. But he showed toughness, he stood in there and took some shots. Obviously has the confidence to play the position. You know, and you and I talked all through fall, right, when it was a close battle. I think we talked many times about how Warner had the experience. Conklin had some game experience and a feel and an ability to throw on the run that was impressive. But the guy with the most upside is probably Jaden Mandel, because he had the strongest arm by far and the best running ability. And unfortunately, Jaden has been hurt and hasn't been able to compete here. I'd be interested if he got healthy in the back half of the season, if there's a chance to deploy him, maybe even with Conklin at some point. But for now, you know, having moved on from the E.J. Warner experiment, and E.J. has to be ready to jump in if there's an injury or he loses his helmet or anything like that. But barring that, right now, Carson Conklin knows this is his team to lead. So this is a huge game for him. I mean, going to the blue turf against a team that's unbeaten in conference, that's thinking about maybe if we win out, we can play in a college football playoff again as the top group of five champion. That's not outside the realm of possibility for the Broncos. You know, what an opportunity for that young man. So let's see how he embraces the challenge. And last week, you know, he didn't know until the day before the game that he was for sure starting. It wasn't announced publicly. So he didn't have what he's going to have this week, which is all week with everyone knowing, hey, this is your opportunity to go out there and lead. So let's see what he and that offense can do with it. And defensively, I thought the defense played really well. You know, a couple penalties that hurt him. There was a drive extending penalty that maybe some fans thought was a phantom call after they had played the field position game, passed on a field goal in a nothing game, and gotten San Diego State back up to its eight. But other than that, you know, guys like DJ Lafitte are showing promise. Maybe a couple plays they'd like to have back. I know Embry wants another chance to catch that ball, and maybe he takes it to the house. If there's someone there for Jax to toss to on his fumble recovery, maybe that's a touchdown. A lot of what-ifs with the game. But the bottom line is, a stadium that had never seen the home team shut out saw that on Saturday. So if this team isn't motivated to bounce back from something like that, I don't know what would do it. I expect to see a spirited start in Boise, and we'll see if they can sustain it.
I know this, Paul, regarding the defense, was that dichotomy that is so frustrating, which is San Diego State was dominant from the outset. They deserved to win the game. They were clearly the better team. There's no doubt about that, and there was no excuse that can be made in any other way except to say the Bulldogs were beaten by a better team, particularly galling when it's San Diego State, but that's life. But to your point about the defense, it was going into the fourth quarter just a two-possession game at 16 points. However, there was just no feeling that Fresno State was going to be able to climb back in the game because the Bulldog offense just couldn't move it. The thing with Conklin, and Rick P. had mentioned this, he goes, what happened to the gunslinger? Clearly, Conklin was nervous, and understandably so. And I would say this, the early drops, I think, had a great effect on him. And I'm not saying it meant the Bulldogs would have won the game, but, Paul, those first couple of drops that would have moved the chains and kept the drives alive, I think it would have settled the nerves. Instead, what I saw from Conklin was a guy who was trying to play within the system and was a little bit overwhelmed with his first start at this level. And I was really unfortunate that guys couldn't hang on to the football early. I thought it had impact on his psyche. How do you feel about that?
Well, it certainly could have. I think having, you know, best defense in the league coming after his head might have impacted him a little bit, too.
Well, there's over four quarters, there's no doubt. I'm talking about just right at the start, Paul, because he had guys open to hit him right in the numbers, and they just couldn't hang on to the football.
Yeah, but he bounced back from that and made some more good throws. And, you know, you also saw that he's got a different delivery, a different release point. The ball has a different attitude in flight. And even if you've caught passes with them, you know, all week in practice, it is a little different from what they've been catching in games. Sometimes those fine details make a difference, but it's not an excuse, right? You have to catch the ball. And, you know, similarly to Warner, anytime he tried to go deep, it was really inaccurate. And that's something that I know this team wants to be able to stretch the field to open up that run game a little more and even open up more of the passing game. And to this point this year, it really just hasn't consistently happened. I do think Mandel is a guy who has that potential. I don't know if we'll get to see any of that this season, you know, just from a health standpoint. And obviously, you know, Matt Entz is intent on building this program for long-term sustained success. So, you know, I think they made the decision to move on from Warner. Now it's Ken Conklin give some indications that he might be the quarterback of the future? Because I don't think they're going to go into the offseason expecting a true freshman, as excited as they are to recruit Deegan Rose. They're not going to expect him to go in and be a starting quarterback right away. So, you know, if Conklin can show enough progress and leadership and effectiveness, then maybe you don't have to go out in the portal and spend the kind of money you might otherwise. You know, and Amanda will be a big piece of that too. Is he going to stay here in his hometown and try to compete for the job, or does he look elsewhere? Those are all things that are really tough decisions for young men to make, but it's the reality of college football in 2025. So the second half of the season is, you know, in large part about making a bowl, and we talked about that today with the coach, finishing strong. It doesn't look right now, barring some surprising collapses, that you're going to be part of the championship game picture. So your goals are a little different. Make sure you get bowl eligible, finish the season strong, take advantage of those extra practices. But along the way, start realizing who can really help you for the long-term future and who do you not have that confidence in. And I think that's part of the process that the coaching staff will be going through in this back half of the season.
Paul, to Conklin over four quarters, there's no doubt as the game progressed, his play was going the wrong direction. He was starting to miss guys by a lot, overthrowing, underthrowing. So I think as the game went on, it did get worse, and it may have been the pressure, but I would have loved to have seen him get off to a better start, but it just did not happen. That having been said, the subtext of all of this is, and I'm going to compare it to basketball last year, not that this football team is in the same position. Don't misunderstand that Vance was last year. It's a completely different set of circumstances. But Vance had to concede that a lot of what he wanted to do schematically, a lot within the confines of his system, could not be done for the lack of depth and a lot of other reasons last year. Paul Maddens came in with great success from the FCS level. Again, we have talked about it. We talked about it all summer long. Run the football, shorten the game, get it to a five-minute game, make the plays to win. We saw it happen on two or three occasions earlier in the season. Now, after he has seen what happens in conference, do you think he has to change any of his philosophy at all? I know he said he's got to stay the course, simplify things. I get that. But, Paul, are the Bulldogs in this day and age, and you brought it up of NIL, are they going to be able to recruit to the line in a way that they're going to be able to be a dominant run team, or does it have to change mandatorily because of some of the realities here financially and otherwise? What's your take on this moving forward?
Well, I think he's making a concerted effort to recruit those kinds of bodies, and he wants to prioritize the high school recruits, you know, which is really how Pat Hill had the success. I mean, if you look at the Pat Hill years, offensive line was the strength of almost every team. The teams where it wasn't was because guys got hurt. I mean, I can't forget the year Logan Mankins and D'Artagnan Shaq, their two best linemen, got hurt, and they went to Tennessee to battle, you know, Jamal Lewis and Al Wilson and that whole squad, where I'm watching running backs get hit in the backfield before they even get a handoff because that O-line was patchwork, you know. Other than that, Pat had really good, well-coached, physical offensive lines. And it wasn't always the size. I mean, some of his best linemen, look at Ryan Wendell, went on to play in the league and had an extremely successful coaching career in the league. It wasn't always about size. It was about fundamentals, toughness. And Coach Henson and I talked about that last week. I said, if you had to choose, because he said the two things he looks for in linemen are length and toughness. I said, if you had to choose a guy with length but not toughness, or a guy with toughness but no length, he said toughness without length every time. So he knows what kind of guy he's looking for, and he's gotten commitments from guys, some of them right here in the Valley, with real legitimate, you know, Power 5 level size. And they also have coaches with ties in the Midwest, and sometimes you can get those bigger bodies in the Midwest and more skilled guys out here. So they're being strategic about it. But I think ultimately, if Fresno State and really the community doesn't find a way to invest more in the program, it's going to get harder and harder to compete. Now, that is not an excuse. That's not blame, but that is reality. I'll go back to what I said at the start of our conversation. You know, Fresno State, if a couple breaks go here and there, could have made that a real competitive game against the Aztecs. But you've got a team that is paying its players $5 million this year versus a team that's paying its team a little more than $1 million. And that's a huge, huge difference. So what can be done to change that? And will the people see a return on their investment when they do step up? I think that's the real danger of this NIL and revenue share model and era, is just by sheer probability, there are going to be dozens of teams around the country where people support a program with a whole bunch of their hard-earned money and see really poor results, you know, and a negative return on their investment, depending on what their goal is. And that's really hard to sustain. So the teams that I think are going to rise are the ones that find a way to build where they can show a return on investment, have that motivation, that trust, and that belief. I think Coach Entz has a plan for that. He's working that plan. And let's see what happens on the blue turf, because, you know, Boise State is atop the league right now, but I watched that game against Nevada. It really didn't look too much different from Fresno State's game against Nevada. The Broncos got a huge break when Nevada had forced a punt but allowed one of its players to touch it and gave Boise State the ball inside the 10-yard line in what was a one-score game. So Nevada would have had a chance to tie it. Instead, went down two scores. That was in the second half. So that, I mean, that was a pretty close game in Reno. This is not the Ashton Gentry Boise State team a year ago. It's not the Boise State defense of a year ago. There are vulnerabilities from the team on the blue turf next week. So let's see how the Bulldogs step up to that opportunity, right? Nobody expects them to go up there and win. And sometimes that's what brings out the best in you. So let's see how they respond to the opportunity that's in front of them Saturday afternoon in Boise.
Paul, the injury report, Thunderbird out for the year, certainly hurts Fresno State. There's no doubt. But, you know, by and large, the defense did play well enough to keep the team in the game. Do you anticipate, because the one thing Boise State can still do is move the football and score points. I'm with you. They are not the defensive team they've been in years gone by. Bulldog defense, do you believe, will go up there for four quarters and keep this offense for Fresno State in the game at least? I'm just curious about that.
Well, that's the hope, you know, and Boise State's got a pretty solid three-headed monster at running back. You know, Gaines is a powerful back. Riley's really explosive with great speed. There's an offensive line that's pretty good at opening up holes for him. And, of course, there's the former Bulldog Malik Sherrod, who's going to be really motivated. Malik's been in the middle of some turnovers this year. And when Fresno State has won games, it's been because the Bulldogs are able to take it away. I mean, they beat the best team Hawaii's had in years on the island. Hawaii could still win the conference championship this year. That's not outside the realm of possibility. They did that because they were opportunistic, and the offense, when it needed to, took advantage of those extra possessions. I think that has to be part of the formula. Even in this last game, they get a couple takeaways, but they also give it away twice. So this is a defense, there's no doubt, that has the potential to take the ball away. Really strong, experienced secondary. Thunderbird's a big loss because he was a playmaker. But Logan Stute and Titus Kajavi are getting valuable experience. They both made some plays the other day. The development of DJ Lafitte on the defensive line has been a real bright spot. I still think, you know, Sione Noah has been hurt and sitting out. He played this game, made a difference. Finn Claypool all year long has been a guy who has the potential to get to the quarterback. Still think there's some better reps in Corey Foreman's future. So can they disrupt Maddox Madsen, force some turnovers, maybe, you know, revive a little case of fumbleitis for their old buddy who decided to shut it down last year and get an extra year of eligibility and go to the arch enemy. I mean, that's not a small deal, Tony. Malik Sherrod's teammates knew that he had decided to hang it up last year and didn't want to fight in the trenches with them and said, I'm going to go make some money in Boise and play for the team you all hate. So even though a lot of those guys are still friends with him, from a loyalty standpoint and a motivation standpoint that can get you juiced up for a game, there's a lot of grist for the mill right there with our old buddy number 22.
Paul, I want to ask you, because it came up in the emails about the environment around the stadium for the 12:30 start. I know there were a number of emails really irritated by the lack of crowd involvement. Now, I'm talking about from the outset. Obviously, once the Bulldogs were pushed beyond a score, or then two, and then finally three at 23, you're not going to have a lot of response. But was the crowd ready for that 12:30 game the way you would like to have seen it? Is it unfair to put any of it on the crowd, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Oh, no, the crowd was phenomenal. I mean, that, and the crowd was booing, which is hard to hear, but, you know, Coach Entz owned that, too. Said, I've got to put better results on the field. I've got to give him a better product. He wants high expectations. No, that was a phenomenal crowd. I mean, I took a picture, Tony, it's on my social media, of the standing ovation when Jerry Hall, the hero of the game, was introduced. And I mean, there aren't many empty seats, and that's in the second quarter. So, no, I think the crowd was absolutely outstanding. The Red Wave got the message. The majority of the stadium was wearing black. They were there early. They were tailgating early. There was a great energy around the stadium. And I think the biggest disappointment is not just that you got shut out for the first time since the community built that stadium at home, but that it happened in front of your all-time great players who really want to be a piece and contribute to the resurgence of Fresno State football. And I still think that's very possible in this community, in this program. And hopefully these players, these coaches, this current state of the program can inject a little enthusiasm on Saturday in Boise.
Paul, the last thing came from Robert S. And by the way, Robert, I wanted to thank you for the kind wishes. And Robert P., I always appreciate your emails and the kind wishes, and I hope you are still moving forward with your health as well. But Robert S. had expressed concern about going into the PAC next year, and you brought up the financial aspect in all of this. Across the board, Paul, not just football, but across the board, you're going into a conference that some have said, well, you know what, it's just a reconfigured Mountain West. But as we've discussed, there's a very marked difference, and that difference is you have dropped some of those schools that didn't have financial wherewithal. You also add Oregon State and Washington State, who are used to monies around their school. You have any concern at all for Fresno State's competitive abilities across the board as they move to the PAC next year? Because this is what Robert was asking about.
Well, yeah, I think you have to be concerned. You have to be vigilant. You can't be alarmist, but you can't be, you know, head in the sand. This is where college sports, you know, as an entity is headed. Is it where any of us want it to go? Is it for the best interest of the student athletes or really the lifeblood of college sports? No, I strongly believe it isn't. I think there has been severe damage done to the, you know, the validity, the longevity, the efficacy of college sports as an enterprise in this transfer portal and NIL era. It has just eviscerated the relationship between the fan bases that have supported these programs for so long. It's made a lot of people check out, and that's really disappointing. But what can you do about it, right? I think you believe there's going to be course correction at some point, because the way it is right now just isn't sustainable for a lot of schools. So do the big boys want schools like Fresno State to disappear and not compete anymore? Maybe they do. But I think that's all the more reason that you want to double down and say, hey, I don't care how many times you try to kill me, I'm not dying. And I think the schools that do that, that find creative ways to remain competitive, ultimately are going to find a place where there is a more steady footing and it's a little easier to compete. But it's going to get harder before it gets better because of the great discrepancy in resources. So in my mind, the goal is to survive as a competitive program long enough to get to a point where finally you can build some critical mass and be a legitimate contender for national prominence. And that might be a longer road than a lot of people want. But the way it happens is by people, you know, investing, by making sure you have good, principled, visionary leadership in place that people want to invest in, and you get the entire community engaged. because it's not going to happen with just one person or one guy writing the check. There's no T. Boone Pickens waiting around to just fund everything. It's going to take everybody. And there's no stopping this valley when you get everybody on the same page. I've seen it so many times, Tony, you and I have talked about it. So I think it's a really critical time. It's a, you know, what's the buzzword? An inflection point, if you will. And these next few years are going to require really good leadership. So people like Dr. Saul Jimenez Sandoval and Garrett Classy and Coach Entz and others, you know, that's what they get up for. They are in their positions, to borrow a biblical term, for such a time as this. And that should be a privilege and a responsibility that energizes them and excites them. And I know they're bringing all the creativity they have to the table. So looking forward to seeing what unfolds here in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, to make Fresno State a lasting presence on the college football landscape and not a school where we just talk about the greats of the past and can't look forward to the greats of the future. I think we can. I think better days are coming for Fresno State. And hopefully Saturday in Boise is going to be a step in the right direction. And we're out of time, so we didn't even get to talk about basketball or the newly minted 40-year-old head coach of the Diamond Dogs, Ryan Overland, who had a big birthday Saturday, and I think he's going to have another good team this spring as well.
Well, we will certainly be discussing both those sports in days to come, and the Bulldog basketball team, of course, a week from today will be playing Fresno Pacific, so we'll have a chance to talk about some things on the court. We'll be leading up to the game when I talk to Paul next Monday, and hopefully, Paul, it'll be a very safe and successful trip to Boise, Idaho, and we'll certainly, at 2:05 next Monday, have the rehash of whatever happens on this Murph turf. And it hasn't always been pleasant, though. As of late, it's been a lot better than it was before, that's for sure. There have been some pleasant times there, like 2018 and 2022, so we'll see what happens on Saturday. Paul, appreciate it, my friend. Have a safe trip. Tell Pat and Cam I said hello, and we'll certainly tee it up 1 week from today. Take care.
Sounds good, Tony, and you mentioned that basketball doubleheader Monday. This coming Wednesday, we'll have both Coach Wahlberg and Coach McCarthy, who, you know, had a nice debut in an exhibition yesterday. They'll be out at Crow and Wolf from 6 to 7 over at Herndon at 168. So if fans haven't met him yet, come on out and hang out with us.
No doubt about it. Paul, appreciate it. Take care, my friend. Always good talking to you.
Adios.
All right, guys. Paul Leffler, by the way, JJ, thanks for your words about Coach Entz. I will certainly get to that later in the week. I really enjoy your emails. They are spot on all the time, my friend. All right, take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, and then it's time for Major Wager Monday as the Commodores, ladies and gentlemen. Lionel Richie is playing tonight. I knew I would do that eventually. Just, you know, I know they can't be the Redskins anymore, but let's try the Commanders, all right? Unless it's easy like Sunday morning. For the 49ers, it wasn't easy like Sunday morning, incidentally. The Commanders tonight against the Chiefs, and also Game 3 of the World Series over on 790. I'll tell you about that one more time, and I'll do it properly after the break as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:52, about 5 minutes ago on the show, handed off to Phil's great show, Behind the Bench. 2 hours today, and then it's time for Major Wager Monday. Again, the Commanders, ladies and gentlemen. If it were the Commodores, it's either going to be Lionel Richie or Diego Pavia, one of the two. But it is the Commanders and the Chiefs tonight. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park, Carter and the gang will be out there. A great time. Stop on by and see them. We have the Westwood One broadcast for you in the game, of course, on ESPN tonight. Big screen TVs, great food, as always, at Me and Ed's Victory Grill. So stop by, say hello to Carter and everybody there. And also, Phil will lead right up to that, as he'll have 3 to 5 today. Tell you all about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net on the web. Again, we commend Ed for everything he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, in regard to fundraising, particularly the Lyles College of Engineering. The goal, as always, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. Ed and his company have done that beautifully. A lot of those graduates from the Lyles College of Engineering on campus come to work for Precision Civil Engineering. Again, tonight, 5:15, Westwood 1. It'll be time for the kickoff, 5 o'clock, is when we'll pick up the pre. It will be in Kansas City as the Commanders play the Chiefs. That's on 14:30. Game 3 of the World Series, 4 o'clock the pre, just after 5. It'll be Glasnow for the Dodgers, and Max Scherzer, 41-year-old Max Scherzer, will start for Toronto. First of potentially three in L.A. We know we'll see all three. We just don't know who is going to win the games and who is going to come out of this thing with maybe a World Series title, or if we're going to go back to Toronto, we'll see how it plays out. The Dodgers got what they wanted, which was one out of two after getting bombed in Game 1, winning Game 2, and with the starting pitching the Dodgers have, I don't know how the Jays are going to beat them. I know this. They're going to have to get one of the three, or the Dodgers are going to hoist the trophy in L.A. So we'll see if the Dodgers have bought another title. There, that's for you, Paul, in Paso Robles right there. You knew I couldn't take the high road the rest of the way. And, of course, we'll have games 4 and 5 coming up for you for sure on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then we'll see if we'll have a travel day Thursday and back to Toronto for Game 6 on Friday and Game 7 if necessary Saturday, or if it's going to end in L.A. I'd like it to end in L.A. with Toronto winning 3, but I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll see how it plays out. Those games are from ESPN Radio. The other reminders, of course, later in the week, the Sharks are back. The Lakers are back. Friday night, lights, great high school football on Friday. And then the Raiders and Rams come off of their bye. They're back in action with their games, and the 49ers continue on in New York at the Meadowlands against the Giants as the 49ers continue to lose player after player. This is the fife and drum core right now. We thought this year maybe the injuries would cooperate. Not for the 49ers. They just continue to lose more and more players, including two yesterday again. So it's been a real tough road to hoe for them. I doubt they can hang on to a playoff spot, but we'll see what happens. As far as the regular shows go, Phil normally 3 to 6 with his great show Behind the Bench. You can reach him on the Leisair hotline, 559-320-1430. On Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Radha Vidikian, best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. Paul Meadows with two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show on our sister station, the Deuce 790, on Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. And then the long-running Central Valley Sports Report from First Ring Sports on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, T-D-A-D, the number 1 at att.net. By the way, Paul Meadows, Sunbird Sports Show, will be telling you about the fact that we'll have play-by-play of Fresno Pacific and Fresno State on Monday, a week from today. We'll have the Fresno Pacific broadcast. That's the game Paul and I were talking about. That's a doubleheader with the men's and women's teams both playing on that particular Monday as we get started on the court at SMC. Everything with the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. Find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Final reminders. Want to thank our friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and remind you again that right now it's the throwback to the 90s for a limited time. The great original honey barbecue flavor on everything they offer there, which includes, of course, the terrific chicken sandwich, the tenders, and the crispy golden pieces you know and love. 2, 3, and 4-piece meals, all with special sales right now throughout the month of October. So stop by the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Enjoy the throwback to the 90s. And also, as always, everything is finger-licking good. It's been that way for a long, long time. So thanks to those local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply. And to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And always a special thank you to Jorge for his great work. And to Paul Leffler, I'll talk tomorrow to Jackson. I'll get back to your emails the best I can. Phil is coming up. He'll have the breakdown of the NFL weekend for you. And we'll lead up to Major Wager Monday tonight again. Commanders and the Chiefs from Arrowhead. We'll see you guys tomorrow with Jackson Moore on KFIG Fresno.